using it to make the concert experience a more intimate one.
We will take you on two stops of the Elevation Tour in Milwaukee and Indianapolis.
Yeah, and we'll give you a rare behind-the-scenes glimpse into exactly what it takes to put on a live rock show of this magnitude.
Well, it all starts early in the morning at 8 a.m., long before the show even begins, with loading.
Come on up aboard, love.
We're unloading 15 trucks into here now. We're going to fill this floor, and for about the next 3 or 4 hours, it's going to look like chaos.
62 guys
right now. Bob and Corey on the left.
This box, they don't ever want to come out.
Keep them out, it says back line. You're going the other end.
Yep, mind your toes. Forklift!
We'll make it work.
Actually, straightening up the station we're building on the opposite end of the building, because we've got rigging going on the loading end. What we have here is all the riggers equipment on the against the thatcher. This is what lighting's going to start building here. Video's going to start building in the next zone. PA's left and right. Everyone can work at the same time. It's all on wheels and it gets rolled into position.
Give it a tap there, Jesse.
This is Bono and Adam's world here. All their guitars and instruments. And this one over here is the Edge's, all his stuff.
Basically what you have is you have backups for backups. So in essence, if Edge uses 12 guitars during a show, then there are 24.
What's going to happen when all the points are in? We'll build a grid. Everything will hang from that grid and all the distribution, the cables, everything will come right off of it. You can see if you look up, we're using like extensions on all the steel cables we're using. Plus the fact it's not a flat ceiling. It actually steps up as you move downstage, so you need a rigger that knows exactly what's doing to adjust all the angles to make sure that the points hit the right spots. If you saw earlier on, he was using a laser level, which actually pinpoints the position of where the actual point is going to go, and he works, he calculates off of that.
Down chase! Hit it!
Don't call me a gobshite!
Well, then we're good to go, yeah?
The overall goal, really, was to design a concert situation which brought the band and the audience as close together as possible.
The good thing about this whole tour, first of all, is that we're indoors.
Because obviously when you're in a stadium and you take every stick of the environment with you, the sky's the limit, you know, quite literally. So that's great. And when you're indoors in an arena, you can't play with that same sort of scale. But the plus side, of course, is that the band and the audience are quite literally under one roof.
And the elements make a huge difference to drums, and they do any instruments, you know. This is a dream, to have the right environment. Everything's consistent. We do the same setup every day, and we roll in at the right time.
The most important design element is obviously the stage itself, and we spend a lot of time working out how to make the catwalks and that ramp and the area with the audience inside the stage.
This, what we're building at the moment, is what we call the whales, which is the screen and the hanging brackets for the barcode systems, which is the barcode rear projection screens. And basically we've got four across the front, and each one is dedicated to a different band member.
Our lighting trusses, the stuff that's in the air, is just now floating. He's looking at it, and I'm testing it through our cables, through the snake that comes down here.
That's good.
Just running through the functions of the Vari lights. They're going through their iris now. They're going through their colors and different focus positions. We pretty much take up an entire arena worth of stuff. Once the stage rolls, it looks like we don't have very much gear at all.
It's just routine. It's just a different building, different people. Same gear, same show.
But all this gear here is packed up in trucks in 2.5 hours at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. So it moves really quickly.
Coming up next.
In terms of the visuals, a lot of the show is very simply lit, and there's no special effects or anything like that. But then, of course, there are other times when you have to push all the buttons. You two now have a reputation for spectacular stage shows, and so you can't take them without things. I like to build very strong, bold, simple lighting looks, and pretty much leave them there, you know. Because my thought has always been, you know, if you go and see a theatre show, or if you go and see an opera or something, and you come out talking about the lighting, then something is terribly wrong, really.
In addition to the grid, there's quite a few floor lights. We've got we've got sodium vapors, we have Fresnels, we have strobes, we have blinders. We've got lights embedded in the catwalk that we use.
We run it in acts, more like a theater show. The first act is
is a low color temperature.
I've been using 2K Fresnel theater lamps, which have a very low color temperature. And so they're quite warm, and they're kind of old-fashioned. They're only up about 50%.
We add in the Vari lights, which are a high color temperature.
About 36 of them above the stage, and another 18 on a circular truss, which they're actually just rolling in right now.
It's a wash light, but it has a much larger aperture. The colors are very rich. Those are police beacons. We just basically modified them to make them a lot brighter, about five times brighter than they are in police cars. Yeah, and then we take all the guts out of them, and we change the transformer, we change the lights, we just basically keep the housing. Black ripple drums, we had those made. And that's the idea for those is basically just, you know, a garbage can with a bunch of holes in it. Ended up a bit more sophisticated than that. Through headsets, I talked to the follow spots. There's 15 all told. There's 9 that live in the truss and 6 that live in the house. Mm-hmm. Had to develop swivel chairs so that the downstage spots could be used on stage as well as downstage. Because in order for it to have the chair pivot, you have to pull this pin out of the main shaft.
Okay.
And every night they go up there and they go... You know, because it basically looks like this pin's holding the whole thing up, and as soon as they pull it, it's going to fall to their death.
And then the next phase, we're using PG projectors, which is an effects projector, which is like a slide projector, but it's a scrolling film. And the film is 7 inches wide. It's a huge aperture. It's a 7-inch square aperture. And there are two scrolls, so there are two films that run on top of each other.
Yeah, these two sit just downstage of the mix position. And two more projectors go upstage.
It's an 18-centimeter lens. These are the Moray effects. It's the idea of like the window screen in your grandmother's, you know, the screen door. It's when it's kind of falling over and you can move your eye around and you see the different patterns.
Blobby artsy stuff is what I call it.
I'm using the audience as a projection screen, which is lovely because the audience can see what's happening on them, and if they look across the other side, they can see what the big picture is.
It's a dedicated software called PG6. So there's 4 projectors, and these are the 4 parameters. I just hit my cues.
We're running an LED video wall at the back of the stage, which is great resolution. I mean, the wall is 64 feet wide, but it's only 8 feet high. It's made in sections, and each section is built into an elevator, so we can bring each piece up. We can bring the pieces up one at a time. What's tricky is sending signal to it to run on a screen which is effectively 9-to-1 aspect ratio. We'd need about 5 machines, and running them in sync would be a nightmare. The images run from hard drive, but they're triggered by a Macintosh. All of the information is on one Macintosh screen, but the computer works out how to slice it up and get it onto the wall. We're joking that we have more technology at the mix position on this tour than we had in the entire building. We had on stage on the last tour, you know. A lot of the visuals are handmade because we're just surrounded now by digital images and digital technology. And the simplicity of drawn images is quite powerful. We have one gag using transparent screens that come in. That's an old opera technique. A lot of it is very low tech in terms of the content, but the delivery mechanism is extremely cutting edge.
One of the major elements of U2's lighting design are the massive Fresnel lamps that you see at the back of the stage. They're characterized by the lens created way back in 1822 by a Frenchman, Monsieur Augustin Fresnel. They were used then in lighthouses. They're used today in television and movie production.
We replicate the actual particular technology that's used in the studio. We use exactly the same stuff so that we get as close as possible to the end product, which is on the record.
Most of these old pedals up here, the Stompbox's Edge, used back in the old albums, Joshua and Boy and stuff. This was used on the All You Can't Leave Behind album. This is a compressor. It uses that on the slide, on the slide parts. This came out of nowhere, this Japanese distortion thing. Offensive seems to be the way to go with Edge.
Affectionately known as the Edge Orchestra for years. When he plays his guitar, it's the guitar sound in whole that I actually...
Edge will not use noise gates. Even though there's all this sound, this noisy sound when he's not playing, he believes what's coming through when he is playing is worth it. Other guitarists that I work for, they would say they don't want all this stuff. But with this band, with four of them playing, he's the only guitarist you can hear when he has a 12 string on or when he's using this effect.
24-inch bass drum, two 16-inch floors, and a 14-inch rack. And we use this special Brady snare drum, which is an Australian drum. It's only 12 by 7. Great whack off of that.
These are the controllers, the computer controllers for the system. This is all direct access, or you can make presets. This will be like perhaps the main riff in the song. This will be maybe the guitar solo. This will be the outro. I run this sometimes for him when he's away from his pedal board or when he doesn't want to have to think about switching sound.
We've got two monitor engineers with two monitor consoles, one for Bono and Edge and a monitor console for Adam and Larry.
If the guys need something extra in their monitors, then the individual techs watch their man all the time. Relay the message to the monitor guys.
The location of the monitors on this particular tour is very bizarre. It's in Underworld, and it's like being in a bunker at the very, very back of the stage. This is effectively known as Monitor Beach. You can't see anything back there, so we rely on closed-circuit television.
This is still his main old 1964 AC-30. This is an 82. This used to belong to Bono, and when Bono's not real happy with his sound, sometimes, but he's a different man now. It's another tour, but he used to take it out on his amp. But Edge isn't one, as you can see, cosmetically to update things. He likes to keep them old. He's running almost all his sounds through one or two amplifiers here, and he's playing the amplifiers at a lower level and making the effects at a hotter level.
This particular console is it's a state-of-the-art sound reinforcement specific console. It's developed as the years have gone by, particularly in the automation. We've rehearsed about 48 song titles, and all of those would be on the computer and instantly recallable. As you can see, the fader movements happen as you go along for various other songs. It is very much a starting position, and a starting position only. But it's down to the human ear at the end of the day to make it sound perfect.
I haven't sold the seats at the back right here, so that'll make a huge difference on stage sound, because they normally have PA right up at the back, and that would slap back onto the stage. It's actually much better for us when these drapes are in.
Check, one, two.
We have a structure within the context of a mix in place, and some buildings will respond accordingly, other buildings will be much more difficult. You've got like plastic seats, which is a very reflective surface. You've got a concrete floor, again, which is a very reflective surface. But you can't remove all of the frequencies, because when the people come in, they have this like an automatic dampening type of effect. If a studio engineer came in, it would be an oh my god type situation, as in he would probably lose his mind in seconds. Sonically, I would consider this to be the best that we have possibly achieved to date. The four guys up on the stage are playing exceptionally well, and the system is responding accordingly.
We were watching Joe O'Hurley, the sound designer, talking about his mixing console. It's called a Midas XL4. It's actually a German console, and it doesn't just mix for playback. It's a full recording system. And at every U2 soundcheck, Joe will go ahead and record and then burn a CD. And that's the way U2 is going to make their next album. They'll use these as demos. How'd you like to have that in your collection? When our special edition... Before the break, our soundcheck spotlights another U2 tour diary.
I worked with U2 for nearly 20 years. About 15 years ago, they wanted to do something about having a fan club. So I proposed that they put a magazine together. They ran a tour diary, which was just me talking about, you know, what we do on a day-to-day basis. It reflects life on the road. You know, it's a mixture of the glamorous and the utterly mundane. It's funny because I'll have people come up to me at the mixed position and they'll say things like, so did you manage to get a haircut? Or, you know, oh, I can tell you where there's a laundromat in Milwaukee or something. People read this stuff. I feel like I'm on the Truman Show.
Band from Europe, we have a lot of stuff that's 220 volts. So we have voltage stabilizers, everything is conditioned, everything is isolated, everything is stabilized. This is Dallas Hill.
How are you guys? How are you?
A hippie from Lexington.
Easy.
Dead center is Bono. Bono's going to have black jacket, black shades, black hair. That's how you recognize him.
This is the entranceway to where the band go on stage.
It is amazing inside the pit. There isn't like a crush towards the front, and it's very friendly, but the excitement level, you can tell most of these people are about ready to explode.
What you see is what you get.
Happy birthday, Bono!
Woo! I'm sure there'll be a surprise or two here and there, but I'd be surprised just the same as you will be.
Can you show me your show?
Thanks, Roy. I got a problem with the 1X2X extender.
And the TV channel's recording the audio of the headsets this evening, so don't call anybody a c**t unless you really have to. There are very, very few bands in the world who can walk onto a stage under house lights and bring the roof down. Cameras, and there are four screens, and then each camera has a direct feed to one of the video screens up above the stage, and it just sits there all night. So you have Bono, Edge, Adam and Larry, one on each screen. So, you know, the audience, if they want to look at the drummer all night, they can, you know. When we took the colour out and looked at it, for some reason, it made it less intrusive rather than more intrusive. And it's much, much easier to light as well. Things like skin tones become a non-issue.
It might be good for a stay, we've done this, but it's good, there's plenty of level.
The final phase is when we bring in the video wall at the back of the stage.
To the regular texture on the big
regular, and then let me know when I can switch over.
Mysterious Ways is really fun. We have these dancing girls in there, and Bono can interact with them. The last cue in the show is the lyrics to the song, which scroll up the walls, right? And it's just handwriting. But the scale of it, I guess, is what gives it such emotional powers. Beyond all the technology, there's a real chemistry. There's something happens in the room. And on a scale of 1 to 10, where this is an 11, you know, this is so great.
Thanks for watching.